It'd have to do with their appearance. It would be whatever they look like.
Yeah, like what would the Greys be called?
Just called them the Greys. Beakheads.
Beakheads.
Yeah. Cut all this out. We don't want the first impression being my vocabulary of slurs.
How can we come up with a better slur?
Yeah. Let's actually not talk about the book or the movie. Let's talk about slurs for a second.
Welcome to Dreadful Digest, where we look at your favorite horror novels and rip apart their adaptations. I'm one of your hosts, Tessa Nelson.
I'm Sam.
And today we have the man behind the camera.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah. Now in front of the camera.
Yeah, the disembodied voice. Sam and Tessa said my name four times in the mirror. I came out. They said, we're here to give you the best top 10 out of 10 movie you could possibly watch. Mm-hmm. And a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was a great experience for you, as what you've said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I really loved being a part of this episode.
I'm glad, yeah. Even though it just started.
Yeah, I was gonna say you've loved.
I feel like this is my run has been perfect. I feel like this is where I should end it. End on a high note.
Right, right.
All right. Well, why did you want to? Well, we're gonna be talking about the 2025 Ice Cube War of the Worlds. Not to get confused with the 2005. War of the Worlds, or the TV show, or the Orson Welles radio show, or the any number of War of the Worlds things that exist. So, yeah, why did you want to join us for this episode?
Yeah, since I was like a little boy, I've had like the most interest in the worst movies of all time. And so when we saw that this was a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, I said, I need to get on that episode. I feel like I just love bad movies, and I felt like this was going to be really funny bad. I don't know if it was funny bad, but
yeah.
I was really hoping it would be really funny bad.
It's complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It depends how you watched it. Mm-hmm.
It does.
Right. Do you guys have any history with this story at all?
Just the film school history.
Right. Yeah. I feel like if you go to any film history class, you're going to hear about War of the Worlds.
Yeah. Although I did find out via researching this episode that that story's not true.
Really? Okay. Yeah. We'll get into it. I was watching this on Discord. I was watching the movie on Discord with some friends, which honestly gave me the full experience. I really felt like I was in Ice Cube's shoes. Mm-hmm. Every time I made a note on my computer, I was clicking between like tabs. I was mm-hmm. like, this is how he must have felt. But anyway.
Basically DHS. Yeah. Yeah.
I bring that up because one of my friends thought that Orson Welles wrote it, but that's not true. It's H.G. Wells.
Yeah.
Very easy to get confused. They both have the same last name, weirdly enough. H.G. Wells would have been alive when that happened, I think. The 30s or 40s, I think.
Fact check.
I know
he would have been alive to see one of
died
the adaptations. 46,
so yeah, he was fully alive.
Yeah, so he would have, just like with Invisible Man, he would have been around to have seen it.
But he was over in England, so.
Do they not get American movies over that? There?
No, but like, did they get American radio in the 30s?
Oh, you know what? You might be right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably not.
At first, that was a joke. I was like, oh, but he was all the way in England. But then I thought about it. And like, no, actually, I feel like he probably wouldn't have.
I was thinking of like the movies.
Movies, he definitely still would have seen the movies.
Do you think he would have liked this version?
I think this is what he intended.
Yeah, I think this is exactly what he wanted.
I think he watched this and was like,
ugh. Why didn't I think of that?
Right.
Right. I predicted time machines, but I couldn't predict computers?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I feel like if you're in the 1800s, right, you're just a random Englishman in the 1800s. That level of computer that the aliens are in this one, unfathomable, right? So it's like maybe that is something that they would think was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, if he wasn't familiar with any other movies, I bet the CGI would have blown his mind.
Yeah, that was real lightning that was happening, shooting up from the earth.
The lightning?
Yeah, that was so cool.
But yeah, I don't really have any history with War of the Worlds. The only history we have is with The Invisible Man. We covered that already, so we kind of have an idea about H.G. Wells' background.
Him.
Yeah, we're familiar with his work. But yeah, should we jump into our non-spoiler reviews?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go first.
Yeah, I was thinking about mine during the movie, and I feel like any of my chronically online friends here watching the show would recognize the line, and this applies to both the book and the movie, surprisingly. It's, I miss my wife, Tails. I miss her a lot. I'll be back.
What?
You wouldn't get it. The people out there, they're going insane for that.
Tails, like the Sonic character?
Tails, the Sonic character.
That's in the book?
No.
Oh.
But he misses his wife in the book.
He predicted Sonic.
What is that in the book?
Yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog was in the book, actually. Actually, he was. Fun fact, Sonic the Hedgehog's name is Ogilvy. So, that's real. Look that up.
Is that true?
Yeah. Okay. Also with the book.
What are those weird connections?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm bringing a weird edge to the podcast.
The fact that you remembered any of the characters from the book is really impressive.
It's because his name was Ogilvy, and I'd only ever heard that from Sonic the Hedgehog.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Insane. Yeah.
Why is his name Ogilvy?
I think it was a fan comic that people made canon. It's not important. That's not what we're here to talk about.
We're going to be...
If we're reviewing the Sonic movie, I'll be back on. But until then, I'm out of this podcast.
I think we're going to be going on a lot of side tangents in this episode. Yeah,
well.
My non-spoiler review is... I don't know. Honestly, this is a really straightforward book and really straightforward concept. What if Martians came?
Yeah.
That's what it is. And in every iteration, that's essentially what it is.
Were they Martians in the new movie, though?
They didn't specify.
I don't think they were Martians.
Okay, that's a fair point.
I mean, at this point, because like the version of the book I read was a library book, and it kind of dove into the history, the historical context, all that fun stuff. And they were like, at the time, the most popular theory was like, yeah, there was life on Mars at some point.
Is there life on Mars, David Bowie?
What?
Is there cream on Mars?
Well, like, was the most believed theory. And as a man of science.
He was a man of science.
It makes sense why, you know, if you're going to do some extraterrestrial thing, that would be where they'd be from, right?
Yeah.
But now, in the modern day and age, we know that to not be true. But that's not to say aliens can't come from other places.
That's true.
Yeah, I couldn't really recommend either of these.
Wow, straight into that.
Yeah, that's my non-spoiler review.
Non-spoiler review, don't recommend it.
You don't need to read it. You don't need to watch it.
Don't need to read it. Don't need to watch it.
But you should know about it. I feel like this is one of those things where it's like...
It's important to know. That's why I'm wearing my Doctor Who stuff, because without this, we wouldn't have Doctor Who, Star Wars, Star Trek... All the sci-fi things we know and love wouldn't exist without the story where Martians invade London town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You think nobody would have thought of it ever, though? Like, eventually?
No.
No?
Yeah, no.
All right, yeah.
We never would have thought of the concepts of aliens without H.G. Wells.
Yeah, actually, you're right. My dumbass. Never mind. Move on.
You know, but like aliens, like what is the next alien iteration after this?
Where do we go from here?
No. I mean, like in 1890, whatever. What was the next alien thing that came out after? I feel like that wasn't. They weren't making alien movies.
No.
This was the alien. He did it.
He really did it. Because after that, I'm like, what was big at the time?
Star Trek eventually.
Just a lot of Universal monster movies was like. Oh, no big sci-fi, like the sci-fi stuff of the day. Well, not in the late 1800s, but like early 1900s was like big spiders invade, big ants invade. Like that was like...
What do you think that's about?
I'd have to look into that. I don't know. But like those creature features, I feel like was probably the next thing.
Okay.
That's probably accurate.
I mean, it makes sense. Like people were afraid of space, you know?
It's true. What's scarier, space or the deep ocean?
Space.
This or that segment? So soon.
Yeah, I'm kicking it off. It's the deep ocean. I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah.
Space freaks me out.
No.
I think the deep ocean is scarier because it's like...
Because it's here.
It's here.
Exactly.
It's
here. Yeah. They can come out whenever they want.
Space is everywhere.
I don't know, but whenever they want. They have to evolve there, I think.
Space is
whenever
everywhere.
They want.
Yeah. I mean,
but, you know, that they're away, you know?
Yeah. The concept of space is pretty scary because it is like millions of light years away. There's a giant worm somewhere killing a planet, but that's never going to affect us.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's easier to get to space.
Look,
it seems
think
a lot of people are going
to
space.
Do you want to go to space?
No.
Neither do I.
I think
space
is cool.
Uh-uh. I would never. What?
For the audio listeners, Sam just stared at me like she was gonna kill me for saying that.
You can go to space whenever you want.
Can I?
You just need like $1 million to go just on to Elon Musk.
Marry Bezos, I think.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Oh, is it Bezos that does it?
Oh, I actually, I don't know. I'm spreading misinformation. Speaking of Bezos.
One and the same.
Yeah, Bezos.
Let's get back on track.
Yeah. all right. Anyway. What is the synopsis of this novel? Basically, aliens invade Earth, but it follows like an account from an unnamed protagonist. He is writing about his experiences with Martians invading England. He also talks about his younger brother who lives in London and how he had to flee and all this stuff. So it's basically this guy going to different parts of England with a bunch of weird names. There's a lot of names of towns that he goes into where I'm like, where is this?
At a certain point, you just gotta give up.
It's like Wicket Town.
Somewhere else. He goes somewhere else.
Tootleyberg.
While like, I was reading this, I did constantly think this would be probably the best book ever if you lived in this region and you've been to all these places.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But you'd over like, here, yeah. It's this like, is how that's I my felt. Hometown.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Have you ever read this is a different book that hasn't been adapted yet. Have you ever read Parable of the Sower?
Yes.
Okay. So you know how it takes place, like, and they're walking on the 101 and the 118? That's, like, where my childhood house is-ish. And when I was reading it, I had that where I was like,
yeah,
this is for me. Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. I bet reading this book back then, you'd be like,
I know where this place is.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
I'm from Floppenshire, and the Martians invaded, and I read this wonderful novel.
That book actually was a nonfiction. I was there for it.
Yeah. Oh.
My grandfather fought in the Martian War. Martian
War. All right. So that's basically what happens in the book. Sam.
Yeah.
You're going to give us some facts today. I didn't have to do work.
I know. I am going to give you some facts. And I'm also going to paraphrase off the notes. These are my notes. And then there's what's up here in the noggin. So, to quote Wikipedia, War of the Worlds is a science fiction novel by H.G. Wells. We know this about an invasion of Earth from Martians, and the Martians are also better than us, like, in every way. This is important because H.G. Wells, biologist that he was also very influenced by Darwinism and social Darwinism being super popular at this time period, which is scary.
Darwinism is scary,
isn't it?
Evolution? I don't know.
Well,
I guess at the time it would have been
social Darwinism.
What does that mean?
Like, I want to make a joke about American Eagle Deans right now that I'm gonna not, but
eugenics.
Yeah,
he was a fan of that.
No, he wasn't. I'm just saying that was like spreading misinformation about this not alive person.
So I was like, I thought he was a socialist, and I was like,
social Darwinism was very popular at this particular time period. So the idea of a superior race, or like what would happen if like an alternative race came in that was more advanced in every way, was like in the rhetoric. So hence the Martians are significantly more evolved. They don't eat food. I don't know. We'll get into all of it, but that's that. It was one of those serialized stories where, like, they'd put stuff in magazines and then they would, like, you know, you have to wait till next week and then they do the next chapter. And then eventually, like, I think 1897 is the year it was actually published, like, just as a book.
It doesn't seem like it has that many cliffhangers that where you would be wanting to come back to it.
Wow, I wonder what this unnamed guy is doing this week. Like, you don't even have...
Literally.
Yeah. Which house is he hiding into?
Yeah. And then famously, of course, this is what I was talking about when I said the film school thing. If you went to film school, you might have been told that in 1938, Orson Welles directed and narrated a newly structured adaptation of this as a radio program. And there's a rumor that people were so enthralled by this retelling of it because it's like POV. POV and also like pretend the government is giving actual announcements about like...
That was Joy.
Oh, pretend the government is giving actual announcements about like, they just landed. That's my
playing air horns.
Yeah, exactly.
The purge sound effect starts playing.
They did say in the broadcast three separate times that it was a fictional account, but the whole you know, nation terrorized thing, allegedly, was like the headlines exist, but it was completely unfounded because at the time newspaper, I'm just ripping off a YouTube video that I can't remember the name of. So somebody else, you know, credit to them. But at the time, print news and radio news were highly competitive. And so the newspapers kind of made up this story that like radio's dangerous. Look at the things. Hello? Somebody doesn't like the research section this week.
What is she doing?
She's fighting a toy.
Oh.
Anyway, so print newspaper was basically like, ugh, we don't like them. This is me deciding this is what they were all thinking. They were like, ugh, we don't like them.
The radio is too dangerous.
Radio's too dangerous. This new modern medium is, well, I mean, that's not what they were thinking. They were thinking this thing is taking money away. How can we speed run censorship from the government by proving this is dangerous? The radio shows, however, actually loved this because they were like, look how entertaining radio is. Look how powerful radio is. And so the idea that happened just kind of got continued for a long time. Like, oh yeah, like people actually believed it, but that's not actually true. And apparently only 2% of the nation actually turned into the broadcast.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Cool. So there's that. It's good to know. Yeah. I did not know that it was false.
So after that, there was a 1953 movie adaptation, which is awesome. And then there was a 2005. I'm just the actual adaptations of the text, because there's also a whole bunch of other movies mm-hmm. about it conceptually, like Martians, War of the Worlds kind of offshoot stuff. So 2005, Tom Cruise with Steven Spielberg.
Said you saw it.
I did. Yeah, I watched
it. Good?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's honestly, it's pretty faithful.
Oh.
And what's interesting to me, I haven't even talked about the movie, but this is actually a good transition.
So we're not covering it. Maybe in the future, but I don't want to right now.
What's interesting to me is, and I can't prove this, but something I noticed between the 2005 version and the 2025 version is, like, the 2005 version is about a dad who is trying to protect his son and daughter when the Martian invasion happens. And it, you know, it's Steven Spielberg's Amblin, so it's very family action adventure, obviously, like, think Twister's level mm-hmm. special effects. And anyway, so then it's all about these lessons that he has to learn in order to be a better father and all these things that he was doing wrong. You know, standard movie stuff where you have to learn a lesson. He does so throughout the course of it, and the family's reunited at the end with the mom, which to me, similar to the original text where the guy meets up with his wife at the end after being separated.
Surprisingly, she's dead.
I know, right?
Sure, it was shocking. She was dead, yeah.
And then in the 2025 version, we are yet again following a father who's trying to protect his son and daughter during the Martian invasion and ultimately is reunited with the end. And I reunited with them at the end. And I know that that's like broad, but I do think this whole like idea of the father trying to protect his kids, I think it came from the 2005 version. I don't know mm-hmm. if we can say that the 2025 version would have such a strong like emphasis on that if... You know, I know yeah. it's not like a sequel maybe. Or influenced by, but I do believe that they're connected. Anyway,
any disaster movie, I guess, yeah. has that.
So. I didn't watch the 2005 one, but I talked to somebody that did watch at least that one. I don't know if they watched the new one, but it sounds like whoever made this movie didn't read the book, but they watched that movie. And this was like an interpretation.
I would
of
believe
that.
And that's because what it feels it's like. Similar. I mean, obviously in the 2005 version, Tom Cruise and his wife are divorced. And in this version, Ice Cube's wife died.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are a lot of like parallels where on the one hand, it's not so similar. You can say like, oh, that must be influenced by, but it's similar enough that I'm like, what are the odds?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about the movie. So the film was directed by Rich Lee with a screenplay by Kenneth A. Gold and Mark Hyman from a story by Gold.
Did they do anything else? Have they done anything?
I'm so glad you asked. So this
it feels good to be on this side where I can ask questions, but then I know you actually have an answer, unlike me who never looks into things.
So part of it, I told you this off camera already, but I'll tell the audience as well, which is like, so I watched the Drew Gooden video analyzing this. Hello, Joy. She's stealing my thunder this episode. All right, can we talk about this? Gosh.
Every time you start talking.
I know. I watched Drew Gooden's video about this movie, and I like when he does film reviews, so that was fun. He pointed out Tony's Film Club, which is a channel that actually got an interview with the producer and editor. So I watched that whole thing and I got a lot more information. And they the way that they talk about it in that interview is like, it's a genre. The whole Zoom movie thing called screen life movies.
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't know there was a
So this director also did Unfriended, Missing, all of those movies that you're like, oh, this is just like this same guy.
Unfriended's better though.
I haven't seen it. I couldn't tell you. So yeah, he this is like his thing. And in the interview, the producer talked about like he pitched doing War of the Worlds in this style because that director does that style famously. So I think they said that they expected it to be a theatrical release. And because they thought it was going to be a movie like Unfriended or Missing, which, you know, those both had theatrical releases.
I can't imagine watching those in theaters, though.
But they did have theatrical releases.
I know, but that sounds like a bad time.
It's just like, I don't know. I get it. Like, having watched them talk about it, I'm like, okay. Yeah. And also, obviously, it was filmed in 2020 and didn't get released until 5 years later, which is why we're watching it now and being like, what was that? But if it was released in 2020, we'd probably all be like mildly annoyed about it because it's like, ew, COVID movie. But we wouldn't have the, I think, huge swing of like, what are we watching that we do today in 2025. So unfortunate timing of release.
It did feel like it just came out of nowhere.
Right. It was like, why would they make this? And it's like, well, or why would they make this year? They didn't.
Why was it delayed?
They didn't get into that, but the producer said that there were 5 significant delays that extended the post-production timeline. So they didn't say what those... They said that some of it, I think, was financial. So, you know.
It's a lot of post-production.
Yeah. So. It's like basically exclusively post-production. Yeah. And the editor was on that interview as well, and he talked about like having to make a cohesive story out of, you know, video, like, and how to do that. So I do sympathize with that.
I do feel bad for him.
Anyway, so War of the Worlds was released by Universal Pictures on Amazon Prime Video on July 30th, 2025. And yeah, so that's that. And then I have some like fun little trivia tidbits.
Oh, okay.
But so it was filmed during the summer and fall of 2020. And the director and cast never worked face to face. I know. Fun fact, you mentioned this earlier. One of the names on Ice Cube's screen is Orson G. Welles, which is a combination of H.G. Wells and Orson Welles. Orson G. Welles.
Okay. That's awful. That's an awful
so
homage.
So they were aware.
There were so many names that could have popped up on the computer. You could have just done 2 separate things instead of combining it.
I don't know if this is true, but this is on IMDb, so I'm deciding it is, which is that the character of William Radford was originally written as a paraplegic to fit in with the themes of COVID and people being like glued to their screens. But the director was so impressed by the intensity of Ice Cube's chair throwing that he rewrote the character.
No.
That's so funny.
I don't know if that's true, obviously. That's hearsay, but like, wouldn't that be crazy?
That would have been more interesting, literally being like stuck.
I mean, not
with Ice Cube in the role, but like with someone else in the role. Yeah. I could have like, I would have
Ice Cube couldn't do it. Is that what you're saying here?
On the record, are you saying that Ice Cube couldn't do it?
Yeah.
If they were gonna go Folks. That route, they probably should have gotten someone actually in a wheelchair.
Mm.
Okay, fair take.
But you watch Glee.
Now, First of all, how dare you?
On our podcast.
Secondly, there are many scenes where they need Artie to dance in a dream sequence. Okay.
So true.
Yeah.
And that is essential.
And they knew that from the get. So they cast it appropriately. Because how can you make a person who can't walk dance?
You're absolutely right. But
And with that, let's go on break. That's crazy. Well, you know what, though? Like, still on that point, like, because there is that moment. Like, he doesn't even try to leave his room until, like, an hour in. Yeah. And, like, I remember being like, that's so weird.
Why? When he does, he's
and then he's locked in. And then it's like, well, why didn't you check on that, like, an hour ago?
Yeah.
Like, I know, like, COVID movie and all that. But, like, in terms of internal logic there, it's like, he should have done that, right?
No, he's really powerful on a computer. He can do pretty much anything and everything.
His daughter wasn't in danger yet.
That's
even
so
when
true.
He's like locked out of drones, he just needs to ask for a code and
right.
Then,
it's like level 5 password.
Yeah,
and then, yeah, and then it just works for the rest of the movie.
So. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and then this is the last thing I'll say on research, which is, unless you have other questions, because I could talk about their interview for days. But
not that I can think of.
Well,
continue.
The most important thing is that a lot of the footage allegedly is real, like from real terrorist attacks.
No, oh. I did know, because I noticed that one of the person's like face was blurred, and I was like, yes. Okay, so they got real footage.
Stuff. And like I read that they don't, you know, that shot of the plane crashing.
Yeah.
So apparently that's real footage of a plane crashing where people died. But what people don't know is if that clip that was used is actually that footage, or there were rumors that in post someone went in and CGI'd basically a perfect replica of it because they didn't want to use that footage. But who's to say?
Wow.
Okay. So that's disturbing, because that's something that I didn't know when watching the movie.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, used semi-frequently, because
a lot of news, they go, he goes back, yes, and forth between like news segments and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's also hearsay. I saw that on IMDb, so like if that winds up not being true, forgive me, but that's what it says on the internet.
But at the very least, we know they got real footage of people,
right? Because they blur out people's faces.
Yeah, which is crazy if he's watching actual news production. Right. Faces wouldn't be blurred, but whatever.
Right, doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's research. Unless you have more questions. Wait, you have a question.
Yeah, one, it's completely, you know, whatever. But, like, in the interview, the editor was there. Mm-hmm. Did he seem like a nice guy?
Yeah, he seemed like a nice, normal guy. Okay. Honestly, I was personally impressed with both of them. Like, I felt like, considering the amount of negative attention that everyone has been getting for this movie, the fact that the producer behind it all and the editor of it were willing to come on the internet and be like, yeah, we made it, and, like, you know...
Okay.
It is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that honestly takes a lot of guts. And obviously the movie is objectively bad, 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. But I kind of do respect. I recommend you watch the interview, because, you know, it's especially for like other filmmakers. It's like, you know, kind of a like this is, I guess, how you can handle it if your movie literally bombs.
Yeah. I only asked just because it was like there's so much clowning going on. Specifically in the editing, and I was like, if this guy was like awful, I would have felt comfortable
right? Well, that's how I feel, because before,
but now it's like he's nice. It's like
before I watched the interview, it's like I was like, oh, I can totally trash on this movie. And then I watched this interview, and I was just kind of like, I don't know. There was one other thing. In this interview, this is why I think people should watch it. Like, I forget. I guess his name is Tony. It's like Tony's Film Club, I think is the name of the channel. The interviewer basically has them address all of the biggest criticisms on the internet about it. One of them is the fact that you can see the green screen in Ice Cube's glasses. And like hearing the producer and editor explain, like, yeah, we went frame by frame and we tried to get rid of as much as we could and we ran out of money. So that's how it looks. And it's just kind of like,
that's the reality of it.
Yeah. Like it's, I don't know. It's, I feel a little more humanity for them, I guess. Obviously, it's not a good movie, but still.
Yeah. Did
it's
they talk about movie, using though. The same reaction shot
they
like
did.
Four times?
They did. And like? Well, the editor actually argues that. And he's like, I think a lot of people think that, but actually a lot of the clips are just similar.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense.
That's really funny.
He has no gravitas. He has no sauce in this movie.
He doesn't, yeah.
He really just, it's so monotone.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So I do feel bad.
I do. Like, I just don't understand how movies like this work, because it's like, okay, obviously there's some big talent in this movie, right? Besides Ice Cube, there's other really big actors. Whoa. What?
What do you know about the NWA?
What?
Never mind. It's fine.
No. The NWA?
The music group that Ice Cube was in like the 80s or
90s. Oh, no, I don't know anything about it.
I feel like you
it
can't
sounded
say
like
he's
a,
got no talent.
The contract you were talking about.
No.
I was like,
what? No.
That's the NDA. That's different.
No, Ice Cube has talent. I wasn't saying he doesn't. I'm just saying there's other like big name actors and actresses in this movie, but I don't think we're going to see that many more.
I mean, I feel like if you're anybody and you're just like casting, you're like, oh, Ice Cube wants to be a part of this movie, even though he's just coming in for a check. It's like, Ice Cube, he's gonna put in seats.
Yeah.
So... I think that's all you need.
Do you think he wanted to, or do you think he was approached?
I don't know if he's ever wanted to be in a movie in like the last 20 years. I feel like he's there.
Right. Yeah.
He's like, oh, I get to sit for 6 hours?
And yeah, get paid. Actually, yeah. Most of his movies are just him sitting, right? Like, I'm imagining Friday, it's them on the porch. Are We There Yet? It's him in the car. This
are
one,
we
it's
there
him.
Yet? Oh, my God.
It's him in the computer seat. So maybe he just likes sitting.
Well, yeah. Who doesn't? Yeah. That's what we do.
I feel like, hey, you're right. Like, we're no better than him.
We're no better
I can
than
do
him.
The same reaction shot 5 times, and that's all I need to do today?
Yeah.
I'm sold.
I feel like that... It was an amazing performance. And then we're clowning on the wrong guy here.
Who should
we? No,
we
will
on?
Get into his performance because
who?
Jeff Bezos.
Oh yeah, we gotta talk about that.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is in that same interview, they said that this was not an Amazon production. They just were like, well, how do we get things to people? We use an Amazon driver. Okay, yeah. How do we get this thumb drive to Ice Cube? We use Amazon Air Prime.
I actually respect this a lot. Bringing it back to the beginning of the podcast, also because of the Sonic movie. 3 times in the Sonic movie, they have this bit where they're talking about like getting somebody an Applebee's gift card. And the entire time you're like, oh, this shit's sponsored by Applebee's. It wasn't. The director was like, yeah, we just thought that would be funny. So they put it in.
How is that funny?
It's really funny.
It kind of sounds funny.
Because it's just like, it's a very blatant, like, here's this Applebee's gift card. And it's like a shot of him holding the Applebee's gift card.
Yeah.
But like, it wasn't sponsored. It's funny. Maybe it's Olive Garden, actually. But whatever it was, it's like, it's the same thing. And I think it's really cool that they were like, this is a blatant sponsor, but it's not a sponsor at all.
Yeah.
I like that more than if it was actually sponsored by Amazon.
Yeah, but
I think this movie got
put
up another 2 stars for me because of that.
Why?
Just to talk about chain of title, though, because this is something that I'm being liberal with my use of chain of title. Okay, so this is Universal, right? Because Universal owns it, right? But
owns what?
It? The clown?
No, War of the Worlds. Universal owns the IP. War of the Worlds.
Okay.
But it's...
Or does it?
I don't think
CBS did the original broadcast, and then the 2005 version was a Paramount movie.
Well, because wouldn't it be... it's so old at this point. Would you even need...
Well, that's the thing. You know how Mickey Mouse
was
almost in the public domain until you... Well, they have their whole other thing. But, like, you know, Universal, to me, sometimes will purposely... Or this is the reason why Disney remakes all of their things, is because in order to reactivate the copyright, they and keep it with so that, you know, it extends for another however many years, you have to remake a movie with the thing. And so, you know, when I saw that this movie came out, I was like, oh, Universal was just like, do whatever you want with this name and vague story. And then that way Universal gets to keep the IP War of the Worlds. But that's not accurate, is it? Because Paramount did the 2005 one.
Yeah, and the book is also called The War of the Worlds. So I'm like, do they have just War of the Worlds?
Well, I don't know. I feel like the 2005 one is called War of the Worlds.
Then I don't know.
I don't know
I feel
either.
Like anyone can do... I feel like it's... Yeah.
It's all speculative. I don't actually know if it's in the public domain, but I just thought it's interesting because... If it's not in the public domain, it would make sense to me why Universal would be totally chill with this movie being out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Any other thoughts before we jump into it? Okay.
Let's get into it.
Let's get into the main segment. As we mentioned, Martians invade Earth in the book. They specifically target... Well, they don't... Here's the thing. They aren't really targeting anything. They go to Earth, they land in England, they start terrorizing people, but they're not actually like targeting anyone specifically. They don't have any malintentions in the film. They're not from Mars. We don't know where they're from. And they come and they're attacking the entire world. And they also have a goal in mind.
Is it ever said that it's the entire world? I assumed the entire time it was just England for some reason.
No, that's what I'm saying. In the book, it's just England.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
Yeah. And there's only like 5 or 6 of them. Meanwhile, in this movie, it seems like every country has like a bunch that are... Like, there's a bunch of meteors at the beginning of the film that are caused by... There's like a freak storm with the weird lightning effects.
Yeah, the lightning coming up from the Earth was so funny.
And then there's like a meteor storm. And then, the aliens attack... Every corner of the world.
Which, like, at least from what I was reading, this book is the source material is a metaphor for colonialism and imperialism.
Right.
That's,
we talked about this a little bit off camera, but which is why it makes sense that England specifically would be hit, because it's like, what would happen if the colonizer got colonized specifically, exactly, as opposed to like the whole world?
That's, yeah, the one at the library book I borrowed mentioned that. Like, they were like, most of H.G. Wells' stories have a theme, have a reason, like, for existing. And they were questioning, like, what is the purpose of this story? And it's, well, colonization.
Yeah.
Commenting on the fact that Britain has colonized basically every corner of the world. And especially in this time period, he would have been around when Britain still had access to, like, India and parts of Africa, I think, where they still had different colonies around the world. And so it was kind of his commentary on, like, well, what if this happened to you?
Right.
What if this happened to my own people? And, yeah, it makes sense with how the Martians end up dying. We'll get to that later. But, yeah, I think it's a good commentary on that.
The unfortunate thing is, like, because this book is so difficult to get through, in my opinion.
Yeah, we should talk about that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of genius.
The metaphor?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It's, like, pretty rock solid.
Mm-hmm.
Works well, very socially relevant, still currently socially relevant. Yeah. But I couldn't tell anyone. I would tell my enemies to read it.
I guess we should have mentioned that in the non-spoiler section.
Yeah.
It was released in the late 1800s, so... It's difficult to read.
No. Because Invisible Man is fine to read. This is uniquely difficult, I have to say. I really think that H.G. Wells, listen, I know you were cooking, but is it edible? And it was, I know it is, obviously, because we're talking about it over a century later, but I understood Invisible Man. I had a good time with Invisible Man. I didn't need to look up what happened in this scene in Invisible Man, which I did have to do one time for this. Specifically, how did the curate die? What? I was confused. Anyway. Yeah, exactly.
I don't even remember that guy.
I don't remember the curate. Yeah.
The guy, he, okay.
Oh, wait. He's the one in the house that they were hiding in.
I did understand. Everybody else, I didn't even realize Ogilvy and the other dude died until he was like, and then the sacrifices were Ogilvy and the other guy. And I was like, what the fuck?
Did they kind of just die.
Yeah. Did they die off page?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because they got killed by the heat ray.
Right.
It was the first instant of...
Okay.
Yeah, there's that doctor, where his name's like Sven or something.
I don't remember a Sven.
The doctor. I don't know. Like, I don't read very many books. Let me put that out there for our reading audience.
How'd you get on this podcast?
I walked in.
Leave.
Yeah, actually, I'll go back behind the camera. You guys do your thing. No, I like don't read a lot of books. And I thought this one was just difficult because I don't read books.
No, this was hard.
Yeah, so when I heard you guys talking shit about it in the group chat, I was like, oh, okay, cool. I wasn't alone on this.
Don't out us.
I was just like, wow, like this was really difficult. Maybe it's because I don't read enough books. Maybe I'm not appreciating this the way I'm supposed to.
No.
And then I've talked to you guys and somebody else about it, and I was like, oh no, I'm fine. I thought I was gonna come on here with like a bad opinion of like, oh, this actually really sucked, you guys, and you guys are gonna tear me apart.
No, this is hard.
Yeah,
no,
sure.
I had to read a graphic novel to understand kind of what was happening. But I mean, it's a lot of him just walking around and hiding, basically.
Yeah, that's what I got out of it too. Every time I was trying to like really review what was going on, I was like, I think he's just walking around and like seeing the country on fire somewhere else. And now he's somewhere else. And now his wife is gone.
Right.
But now he wants his wife back. So he's going back.
Yeah.
And now it's his brother.
Now brother POV saved from robbers. It's like, why did we need to know that?
We didn't need to know it. That was
we didn't
two
need to know about
chapters.
Any of that. Yeah.
And he got in a boat. And then he watched one of the Martians get taken out by a boat.
That is in the 2005 version.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
The 2005 version, honestly, pretty close. Like, they adapt a lot of it to be modern, but, like, they incorporate pieces of it. Like, when I was just talking about the curate dying, is that even how you say what he is?
I think so.
A curate, maybe?
Curate. Maybe. When he dies, like, that's in the 2005 version. Like, Tom Cruise kills that guy.
I think that was the most interesting part of the book, too. I'll just throw that out there.
Oh, agreed.
That was the only part that I was like, oh, this makes sense.
That's when I came back to
life.
He's
lost it, and he just wants this guy dead.
Yeah.
I don't blame him.
I think it's because he was in one spot for enough time to make sense.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's, like, thinking about eating dogs. I will say, my favorite part is when he gets back to the artilleryman.
Yeah.
And there are too many mittens. Like, we can start a town under this in the sewers, and we can live among the rats, and we can start a new civilization.
Hell yeah.
And then we'll come and up to the earth generations later and take down the Martians. And the main character's like, all right, I'll help you out. And then he's eventually like, actually,
I don't want that at all.
This guy might be a little crazy.
Yeah. I think 100%.
But he does help him dig for a while.
Yeah. My favorite part for sure is the artilleryman coming back and he's just like kitted up in like whatever, like camouflage or whatever the fuck he was wearing. Just the description was like, oh, this guy's like really scary and cool. And that was just the only cool part of the book, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everything else kind of sucked.
Well, because there's not a lot of dialogue either.
Yeah.
I think that was a drawback. Very different from our last book, which is mostly dialogue.
Yeah.
All right. So another difference is obviously this film is set in the modern era, 2020s. Meanwhile, this book is set in the late 1800s. So we're talking horse-drawn buggies.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. The film follows an FBI agent who uses cameras to track people, including his own children.
Especially his own children.
He doesn't do anything else besides watching his kids.
Yeah.
Hacking into their cameras and
in their fridge.
Computers.
They haven't had any protein today.
It's crazy.
Let's just say me and your fridge are pretty tight.
Oh my God.
Such a good line.
Yeah. He's like, I think, the way Ice Cube portrays this guy, he's scary.
Yeah.
Like, he showed
because
no
he's
emotion.
So serious.
Yeah. He showed no emotion when his like daughter's bleeding out.
It's he's like, just like,
yeah.
He was just angry at somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's always angry at someone else.
All that said, though, I think that it is a pretty good adaptation for a modern day because it's like technology instead of aliens or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, I can see
they
why it's
eat
like,
data.
Yeah. And it's like they die to a virus the same way or whatever. Was that a spoiler? Did we get there yet? I don't know yet.
So but like, we're past the point of spoilers.
Whatever. They die in the same way, but in a different era, you know?
Pretty so positive like, spin on that.
Yeah. I think that it feels fine.
So in the film, the aliens arrive via meteorites. They land around the world, around the globe, all over the globe. And then in the book, this was kind of confusing, but they came in like these cylinders, cylinder-looking things. And they also, the main character and then the guy with the telescope, is that Ogilvy?
I think so.
Guy with the telescope, he's like, hey, check this out. And so we see this. And apparently, this is according to the graphic novel. That took place years before.
Oh.
Yeah, because it takes a long time for...
It sounds like it was just the same day, like a week ago.
Well, maybe the graphic novel is wrong, but it was like 5 years later, it finally lands on Earth.
Okay.
What?
I don't know. Maybe it's wrong.
That's
actually
interesting. Because I thought in the book, it's like within the span of a week. Like
I thought
on the
so.
First day,
yeah.
on the second
True.
Day. Yeah.
So maybe it is. Maybe the graphic novel's wrong.
But in the 2005 movie, they say that there's something buried under the Earth, and then the lightning strikes, and then it basically like plants the seed that needs to activate the thing underneath it.
So the aliens come from underground?
Their machines were already like buried underground years ago.
Oh,
and
that's
then,
cool.
And then they get like activated and then they like and they like rip up the pavement.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
How the tech works in the book is confusing, obviously, because the language is difficult. So when they crash land in these cylinders, all I really got was that the top screwed off. And then
there's
I
like a
know.
Little guy inside.
Yeah, there's aliens inside.
Yeah.
The thing like escapes. That's part of it.
And it's also like their gravity is different. So they have a hard time moving without the tripods.
One day, I wrote this down actually from the book. One day, every day at midnight for 10 days, they fire missiles into Earth.
So it happened over 10 days?
I guess. Actually, maybe I might be wrong about this. Really hope there's not a War of the Worlds expert that jumps in our comments and is like, what are you talking about?
I really hope one does, just so he can really talk about what's going on.
Yeah, help us out,
I think
actually.
That would be really helpful. If we
actually, yeah.
All the experts in the TikTok comments, please comment down below.
Actually,
what the fuck
not
happened.
Those people, please.
I feel like we need you.
Now's the time.
Yeah.
They're the worst.
This is your time to shine. All of the hours you put into researching War of the Worlds, Prove Stent. Us wrong.
That's the name of the scientist.
Stent.
Stent. Stent and Henderson.
I knew Henderson. One of them started with an H. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
I did like this addition, although they didn't really dive into it as much as I would have liked. But in the film, it's explained that the meteor's crash landing into Earth affected the Earth's ozone, which caused like a bunch of weird weather stuff around the around the Earth. But yeah, we don't really dive into it too much. As we said, there's specifically Martians in the book. While in the film, it's not specified where they're from, but they do have a goal, and that goal is it's a coordinated attack to get to these to Earth's data centers. Unlike in the book, where the Martians, they have no desire to attack anyone. They really only attack people when they get in their way. Did we talked about they were downloading data.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, the aliens in the film are downloading info from like top secret government servers,
like deleting Facebook memories.
Yeah.
Yeah, specifically that.
Yeah. Specifically.
I can't believe he did, what does he not have photos on his phone of his dead wife?
I really like the idea that they disappear one by one while the Facebook server is up and running.
Yeah. It's really stressful.
And then the little voice message she has in their DM.
Yeah. Right.
That and he's typing, I miss you too. At first I was like, oh, she doesn't want to talk to him. But no, she's just dead. It's like, why are you texting this guy?
Main character is really quick. So Ice Cube is the leader of whatever. So surveillance, right? What is our main guy in the book? He's a philosopher or something? He wasn't like a scientist of any kind.
No, he wasn't.
He was just a guy?
He was a guy.
Okay.
Yeah, but
I was wondering about that the whole time.
Likes the sciences, maybe?
I feel like he said he was a philosopher once, and I was like, why is this relevant to anything?
That might be true. I kind of have a memory of that as well.
Mm. Yeah. He just knew a guy with a telescope.
Yeah.
He did know a guy with a telescope.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you know a guy?
I think my brother has a telescope.
Okay, so you're basically this guy.
I'm basically, I think I'd kill myself. I'm not going to lie.
If aliens came to Earth?
No, if I was that guy. Even if there was no aliens, I think I'd kill myself.
What? You're married in this world.
So?
He obviously didn't like her that much because he kind of just left her.
What do you mean? The whole time at the end, he's like, I miss my wife guy. He's like, I miss my wife. I miss my wife. I need to go back and find my wife.
He's just like Ray Garrity when things hit the fan. Then he's like, oh, I actually do love this person, but only because now I think my life's on the line.
Yeah, exactly.
It was really funny when I was reading it because I think I was spacing out while I was reading it. I think two chapters later, I was like, wait, what happened to this guy's wife? He hasn't talked about her in a while. Is she just like following him? I had to like backtrack and see that he left her somewhere.
He left her intentionally.
And I was like, he hasn't talked about her in like so long. Does he not care?
But
and
then like
two pages later,
he
said that he wanted to see his wife again.
Yeah, When he leaves her though, he's like, oh, if I had only stayed with her, it all would have been okay. Like, I think he's sad.
Yeah, no, for sure. I don't know what his goal was when he left her.
He was trying to explore, right?
No, I thought he was returning the horse and buggy back to where it needed to go. And then he was like, I'll be back. And then he did that. And then he was in like the town over or whatever. And then he got stuck.
See, I'm getting it confused with the graphic novel. Because in the graphic novel, he just wanted to quench his...
That might have been it.
...curiosity.
That would make sense. He said like, he told his wife and cousin or whoever to be like, go to this town. It's going to be safe. I'm going to go this way.
Right.
And then
not only was it not safe. Yeah. But wrong about all.
Shouldn't have done it.
Well, but he did reunite with her at the end. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how. I don't know how she survived, I'm going to be honest. So yeah, the Martians, but the aliens in the film, mostly they are in these tripod things that come out of the meteors. And then inside are these little bugs. Are those the aliens or those babies? What are those?
I think alien the seeds. Bugs are aliens, right?
They're aliens, but are they babies or are those... Like the things controlling the tripods.
Alien well, like seeds. It's spoilers, I guess. Eventually revealed that they're not actually aliens, right? They're like drones from the government that are like deleting
it's
other
Goliath,
government files,
right? Isn't that what we find out that it is in fact the government?
Yeah, it's the government trying to like steal information from the rest of the country, or whatever, just to show that they are.
They can
bring it back, and it's really safe. It's
I thought
because
the aliens were trying to get Goliath.
I think. the government is trying to get, they're trying to say Goliath is very safe.
Wait.
And so there's data getting stolen from all over the country except for Goliath, and just to show like Goliath is like super safe or whatever. That's what I thought was happening.
Wait, but now I'm rethinking, because doesn't Ice Cube like go through all of his stuff and find records from like a century ago of like,
yeah, that they knew that it was happening, and like,
yeah, exactly.
There are, I guess it is real aliens,
there
but
are
they're
aliens.
Like,
they
the government knows
brought
and
them
they,
here though.
Yes, exactly.
They wanted to send a signal out and be like, hey, come get our data.
Right.
So okay. So yeah, the aliens in the film are part cyber, part real organic.
They're organic, yeah. And what do they say? There's like a line about it where they're like, they're robot and
they're organic,
I don't,
and bio.
Yeah, exactly. They say something like that.
Yeah, they're just androids.
Okay, so their goal was to bring the aliens here on purpose, attracting them with Goliath.
Yeah.
So that they would go toward for Goliath?
I'm assuming so that they would shut down the rest of the world.
Oh, so except Goliath. Oh, right. Okay, because it's so deep down. They were like, there's no way they're going to find this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So yeah, they're these little like bug-like looking things. Meanwhile, this is how Martians are described, which you two had a difficult time understand what they
look
like.
You're saying you two, like you had a really good...
Yeah, wait a minute. Sorry, did you understand it perfectly?
I got it.
Don't look at my screen. Don't worry about
describe them right now off the
just,
top of your head.
Just tell me what they look like.
Yeah.
Well, I wrote the description down.
Okay. Which one? There was like six.
Okay. Well, the Martians are described as octopus-like creatures... Mm-hmm. With the body consisting of a disembodied head. Right. So it's just a head.
Yeah.
Nearly 4 feet across. Has two eyes. Mm. A V-shaped beak-like mouth, which is one thing I do remember. Two branches, each of eight almost whip-like tentacles grouped around the mouth. And these are their hands.
Okay.
Now, I don't like the images because in my brain, the tentacles are literally around the mouth.
Wait, this is my favorite. This one's my favorite. Ready, you guys? Yeah. Have you seen this?
No.
He's cute.
Yo,
oh.
I did see that. Yeah.
No.
Because like,
nah,
they describe them
not...
as...
Can we post this?
The way they describe them is like brains, but they're 6 feet tall, and that's what that is.
And
6 feet tall?
They say six feet tall.
And they say they're walking brains. Yeah. Me and Emerson... Same base.
I did not imagine that because they can't move that well without the tripods.
They can't.
This one is so funny to me. Why are they like...
That needs to be a sticker.
Like, they're so happy about it.
Yeah.
Don't they say that they crawl?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They have to crawl because of their
gravity. They crawl
gravity.
In their little tentacles.
See,
they also have
mouth
tentacles.
It like this.
I like the... I wanted the beak... And then I wanted tentacles around the beak.
What do you think about it?
That's kind of what that is.
No, that's tentacles under the beak.
No, but we're talking about those little... I'm talking about those little tiny tentacles in his mouth.
That's not what I imagined.
Well, you know, when we think about it, he's describing an octopus.
The two branches of almost whip-like tentacles grouped around the mouth. And none of these images show that.
Whatever.
Ew!
That's awesome. That's whatever.
That looks like a train.
This one... Oh!
Train.
This one you guys do get to see because what is this? There's no way they're going to be able to see what this is.
I feel
it's like pixelated.
The inkblot test of the Martians.
Got the eyes of like...
Oh, that one's awesome too.
Creepy dogs.
That's the one I saw.
This is a photo.
That one was my canon alien for the rest of the book too. So I was like, okay, cool.
My canon alien was definitely...
The 6 foot...
This one. Yeah. This one was specifically with this facial expression. I was like, yeah, that's my alien.
Oh my God.
When we're talking about Martians... That's who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Hashtag not my alien.
It was interesting reading this book completely separate.
You're going to bring not my blank in a movie with Roderick? That's crazy.
Is there a war here I don't understand?
Roderick?
From
Diary of Wimpy Kid?
Yeah, what about him?
Oh,
the
Amazon
delivery driver?
Yeah.
Is there something wrong with him?
No, he's in the movie.
In I know. What does that have to do with what I said?
Well, I was saying you're really going to bring the not my blank hashtag out in a movie with Roderick?
I don't know what these
the comments
two
are
have
going crazy for this one right now.
I don't know what these two things have in
it's
common.
It's a deep Roderick.
Because not my Roderick.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Whatever.
I got it now.
That wasn't even a thought out enough joke to make and then it had
comment
to be
down below your favorite Roderick moments.
All right.
On that note,
the aliens, the Martians in the book are described as reproducing asexually. They, quote, butt off from a parent, which I don't know what that really has to do with the book. Because it's not like there's a bunch, right?
No.
There's only like a few.
There's only a few once and they're all dead. So that's it. They never really, it's not really important, I don't think.
No. Yeah, the aliens in the film are said to have attacked Earth before, which is okay. What those files he's looking at, I guess.
That they attacked Earth or that they just kind of like were aware of Earth? Because like the vibe I got was that they kind of like knew that the aliens existed and the aliens knew that we existed.
Right.
And that he was shaking hands with somebody. I don't remember who.
I thought the very beginning of the book is like, if you'd have told me 10 years ago there were aliens, I'd say you're crazy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the book. This was the first time they attacked in the book. They didn't know about the aliens.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the film.
Oh.
They were at least aware of the aliens existing, unlike in the book.
The government
was. Is Ice Cube aware? Yeah, no. The government's aware, but Ice Cube isn't aware.
No.
Like, we're just not referring to his actual name in the movie.
I don't know what his name is.
William Radford.
William Radford. He said that's the first line of the film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I thought was crazy. That was my first thing, was like, oh wow, this is the first difference already. He has a name.
Yeah.
He has a name. Immediately.
The character in the book does not have a name.
Yeah. Which
most of the characters don't have names. They're just called by their job titles. Yeah,
it kind of sucked a little
Sarah
bit.
Sarah Nassa, is that what her name is?
Sarah Nassa.
I saw somebody on IMDb put like the character Faith has faith, the character Will has willpower.
Well, he did say like character he told
Sarah
his daughter
NASA works at NASA.
Have faith, and I was like, that's her name.
Yeah,
faith. Yeah,
but yeah, he
Radford
literally
was
types.
Rad. Yeah, we all know. It's all part of the film.
When he's like typing in the computer, like to track someone's location, he literally put her. What was her name? Sarah.
Sarah NASA.
Sarah, and then NASA, and it's like, why did you have to include that?
There's a million Sarahs.
I don't
That's
even
the
know
only
her
one
is.
That works at NASA.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Oh, it's Sandra, you guys. It's Sandra NASA.
Only one Sandra that works at NASA.
Yeah.
Poor audio listeners.
Okay.
Actually, can I say shout outs to the YouTube audio listeners? Stop listening to the audio. Go to the YouTube.
Oh, yeah. That's so true. Emerson
Check
works
out
so hard.
Yeah. Emerson's video.
This is my shout out for my content.
True.
I work on the video. Go watch the YouTube video.
Yeah.
Comment down below.
Or Spotify. We have video on Spotify too.
There's video on Spotify. Wow, Spotify listeners.
The more you know.
What are you doing? Be a Spotify watcher.
Maybe they're driving. They shouldn't watch.
No, you can watch.
Put it on
while
anyway.
You're driving?
Watch all the ads.
Who's to say you can't watch and drive? That's not illegal. Anyway.
Right.
Well, you know what's something consistent in both versions?
We're going to lose listeners, but anyway. Yeah.
There are tripods.
There
Things
are
described as
tripods.
And, even in the 1800s, they knew what tripods
and
were.
And if that ain't a tripod, what is?
What is?
But I think that imagery, on a serious note, is very iconic. Like the idea of the alien walking in this like mechanical thing.
Yeah. There was a moment I didn't know what I was visualizing when I was reading this, but I was like, oh, this is the tripod alien shooting the laser beam down. I've seen this a million times throughout something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Cartoons, media, whatever. It came from the book.
Yeah. The heat rays. The fact that he called it a heat ray.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like that has to be the first, you know.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Whatever.
He was cooking.
And so were they. With the heat
So
ray.
Were they.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which
that
he described in detail
horrific.
Like six times what it did.
I kind of thought that was cool.
Like the first time he did it, the aliens, they're like, oh, they won't leave this hole, and they get up
and
they're
like, bing, 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 bing. Instant kill
circle.
Everyone.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
Which
and then
sound,
that's how Ogilvy.
The sound my gun goes.
Honestly, like I hate to say it, it's kind of funny. Like they're all like, "What is this? What is this?" And then like,
yeah,
boom.
They're like playing
Anyways.
With it. Like mm-hmm. kids are like playing. Like their feet are dangling off of it. They're ever like everyone in the town
is
going
wrong.
To look at this. You know,
parents.
So the aliens,
it's the 1800s, they didn't have parents.
Did the Martians come down to eat the humans for food and then just kill them for sport? Or like, what was the vibe there?
They don't eat them. They suck their blood.
So still sustenance?
The Martians were there collecting humans and putting them in those cages.
Right.
To maybe experiment. That's what the writer guy, the unnamed protagonist, was thinking of that they were going to do. I forget their main, his main theory as to why they were here, though. Like, they needed a new home?
I think something, they're, because after leaving the world, they go to Venus, don't they?
They die.
He, like, mentions Venus.
Yeah, no.
I don't remember
they
what.
Go to Venus.
I'm assuming they're still Martians on Mars, but, like, I think they also went to Venus.
I think they're just trying to colonize. I think it is just that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not there. Like, they just have this whole conversation about, like, can you really go to war with ants? Like, we're the ants. Like, they're not coming after us specifically like they do in the film. Like, we just happen to be in their way.
Right, because they're trying to colonize.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which they would do at any other planet, too. Like, so they're not really looking for resources or to eat humans, because they're just like, what's at this one? What's at this one?
Yeah. We are the resource.
They just happen to be eating them a little bit.
Right. It's like, I'll have that.
Yeah, sure.
That's what they're saying to each other.
Who hasn't eaten an ant?
I guess I'm hungry. I'll just eat this creature that lives on this planet.
Yeah, whatever. It's not like it'll kill me.
Well, speaking of, let's dive into how the Martians die.
Yeah. This is the one thing that anybody talks about.
Yeah.
Everything else, nobody talks about a single moment of this book besides the conclusion I found out.
So the Martians end up all perishing because of regular old British human viruses that they just can't handle. Their immune systems can't handle. Mm-hmm. And isn't that an interesting thought? It's almost like that happens in real life.
Wow.
Wow.
Let's talk about it.
You know what's interesting, though? You'd think in the 2025 movie with a virus that they would have...
What?
Like, the film shot in 2020,
mm-hmm.
in the way it was because of the pandemic, that there would have at least been Nod.
Because I think the computer virus is the Nod.
No, I get that, but why is that the Nod? You know what I mean? Because it feels like there's a way bigger one. Because
if it was like, oh, the coronavirus killed the aliens, then people
would
have
awesome. Are you kidding?
Rolled their eyes.
That would be kind of cool.
That would be the cherry on top of that movie, and they should have done it.
Yeah,
I guess that would have been a nice callback to the book.
But did you guys watch Eddington?
I did.
The bear? Sorry. Continue.
What are you... Paddington?
I was like, what do you mean?
I can't go on. I did like Eddington, but that's another conversation.
Mm. Did you watch Paddington?
There's two, aren't there?
I don't know.
There's three.
I didn't watch it. I'm just trying to get...
Are you gonna watch it?
No. Is it about the war?
Yeah. I think it's about Vietnam.
Oh, okay.
What is this conversation? Eddington. A COVID movie.
Oh.
So
what's
Eddington,
funny about the Vietnam War?
Paddington. No, first of all, maybe we are talking about Paddington because Paddington's British.
Wow. We don't know if the main character's name was Paddington.
It could have been.
Though the character from the book.
Yeah.
It was actually Paddington Bear. His account of the Martians.
Paddington Bear and the War of the Worlds.
Let's make it.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't think I've mentioned this on the podcast. I've said this in every conversation. I think because of the way the disease happened in the book and how he contributed nothing to the death of the aliens the same way that Ice Cube did. In the modern movie.
Oh, yeah.
I think the POV would have been so much better if it was anybody besides this guy. Because he did absolutely nothing the whole thing.
But ain't that what it's about?
I think if it was just a random farmer who, like, sneezed on an alien, would have been a much more interesting POV than our main character. You know what I mean? It's just a random farmer, did
sneezed
nothing.
Sneezed on an alien.
He just, like, sneezed on him. And then he's the guy that killed all the aliens. I think that would have been cool. Even if it was just some random nobody who didn't go anywhere.
What if?
I'm just saying, this guy sucks. And we need Ice Cube or anybody else to make this story more interesting.
Do it better next time.
I think I would have much rather preferred a farmer who sneezed on an alien versus this guy and his random brother.
Talking about another protagonist that is not that important, just like Ray Garrity.
Hmm.
Tune in to last week's episode, last session's
episode. When we make more of a coherent argument for things.
This one's pretty coherent, I think.
Yeah.
We have no way of knowing that.
There's just no way to, like,
Comment down below if this judge, has been a cooking episode.
You know, comparing the book and the movie, it's just impossible.
That's our job. That's why we're here.
That's actually why we're here, yeah.
But it's impossible.
Do you think the book would have been much more interesting if every 10 pages you saw like a printout of Ice Cube's face? I feel like...
Only if it was the Photoshop one from the video.
Which one?
You know when he photoshops his face?
Yeah,
on
the whatever his name is, the exterminator.
Yeah.
What's that? What the Goliath guy? The Destructon?
No, it's like Disruptor.
Disruptor. Yeah. We didn't even talk about that at all. And the fact that
it's pretty important too.
The craziest reveal of all time, and the only quote from the movie, "It's you." I feel like we could really talk about that.
That Ice Cube is betrayed by his one and only son.
Yeah. His son is a better hacker than him.
Yeah. Who immediately in the first like 10 minutes of the movie is like, "Dad, I have something to tell you," and gets dismissed only to be the only thing that Ice Cube has been looking for the last 6 years or whatever the fuck.
Right. Which is, it's so funny to me. Like his son is like, "I don't like the government." And he's like, "Also, I'm really good at tech stuff. Shut up. Unimportant to me."
Yeah.
"I don't care.
Yeah, son, I'm doing my
job. I'm busy trying
to
find somebody who doesn't like the government and is very tech savvy."
Yeah.
I know I don't need to point out the flaws
Dad,
here, but like...
I really have something to tell you. It's important. Dude, I've got important stuff to do.
Sandra from NASA's calling. Shut up.
My girlfriend's calling. I need to hang up.
Yeah.
What does he keep saying? He's like, "I'll check in with you later.
I'll circle back.
Corporate lingo.
Oh my God. That was another bit I had. The amount of times he said circle back was about the same amount of times H.G. Wells said to and fro.
To
and fro was crazy, and he kept saying it.
To and fro.
You remember that? He just kept saying to and fro. And I was like, if you took a shot every time he said to and fro, you would be fucked up.
You'd be dead.
By the end
probably.
Of the book. Yeah.
You just... When you say, "Do you remember that?" I need you to know I probably don't.
All right, my bad.
So don't even bother asking.
What are we doing here?
Can one of you guys explain the cannibal code to me?
No.
What?
That's their code that they use to destroy Goliath.
Like the Konami
because,
code?
Because the daughter cured cancer. Did we gloss over that?
Yeah, she cured
Ice Cube's
cancer.
Daughter kills.
That's right.
Cures cancer. She has the code to cure cancer. And I think they like reverse it. And they like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No. It's actually insane. Ice Cube's family, his daughter can cure cancer. His son is
so
the best
smart.
Hacker in the world. And then he's in charge
he's
of
he's the head of
defense.
DHS. Yeah.
So like really they are the most powerful family.
They're the Incredibles.
The right.
They are
but,
the Incredibles.
And yet Ice Cube doesn't know about Goliath.
Yeah.
Okay. So they get the cannibal code. And this is where things get fun.
It can take down biological matter and also robot.
Yep.
Robot. So they need to get this thumb drive. The code's on a thumb drive. They need to get it to Ice Cube, who is trapped in his DC office building.
Yeah.
They're going to be blowing up the entirety of DC to get rid of this threat. So they need to get this thumb drive to him fast. And how do they do it? Amazon Prime Air.
Amazon
drones,
Prime.
Baby.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
sorry to say, this entire time they've been talking about spying in Amazon carts. That came up also like 5-6 times. And then the boyfriend of the daughter is an Amazon driver. So all lines lead to Amazon in this movie.
Right.
All lines.
Yeah. And so
all roads lead to Amazon.
The funniest thing I think about the drone sequence is that the aliens were shooting laser beams at the drone like it meant anything to them. You know what I mean? In the POV of the drone, the aliens are shooting the heat rays at this drone.
Well, these
for
aliens
no want
to mess things up.
Right.
They really seem like they just want to destroy everything.
Right.
Even though they really only have one goal, which is to get to the data centers. So I don't know why they just... Why not just land near the data centers?
I think they do, sort of. They're like in this weird
kinda.
General vicinity. Yeah.
Yeah.
They attach the thumb drive to a drone...
Well, no, they order one.
They order one
they
through Amazon.
It's important. We have to watch them order it.
Yeah.
To activate the drone. Mm-hmm. Roderick is flying it with a VR headset.
Roderick. Canonically named Roderick.
And then it... Oh, no. It falls upside down.
Yeah.
And who do they employ to unflip this drone?
A random homeless man.
A random homeless guy.
Yeah.
And they bribe him with $1,000 gift card.
An Amazon gift card.
Amazon gift card specifically.
Yeah. Which, by the way, when we watch the interview with the producer, one of the things he mentions is like, you know, LA has a really big homelessness problem.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that.
Why? Which, they're in DC, which also has a makes big no homeless sense. Problem.
That's true. But he is in DC.
Why bring up LA?
Well, yeah, because they're in,
Anyway, they text this homeless guy. He flips over the drone. They get the drone to Ice Cube. He saves the day.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the Tesla?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. The like 5-minute Tesla sequence.
Yeah. So Faith is like bleeding out his daughter and he has to get her to this Tesla, which he can remote drive. And he's trying to have this like heartwarming conversation. And she's like, Dad, this is not the time. So then he proceeds to go send an email.
Yeah.
And it's like, he writes, my God, this is not the time. And he writes this.
In his mind, this is the only time.
This is the only time.
Like, it could be over. She could True. Be dead. He could be dead soon.
And yeah. I'm like, sending an email is crazy. Well, he seemed to think that their relationship was fine. He seemed to think their relationship was fine, but then he did not get invited to the baby shower. Yeah. And so then he's like, well, damn, maybe I've been a shitty dad by spying on my kids and never giving them freedom and never checking in with them, but like also really checking in with them. And so then he's like, okay, what am I going to do about this? How am I going to fix this relationship? I'm going to send an email.
Yeah.
Right. Which.
And then he was originally just going to send it to his daughter. And then he's like, maybe I'll tag my son too.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Comment down below if you miss your kids.
Or your dead wife.
Down below if you have a dead wife and you miss her a lot.
Any other thoughts?
So yeah, the Tesla sequence. He just remote drives it.
She's and then dying. It runs out of battery.
And then when he checks back in on it, there's blood all over the suits.
Yeah.
So he's like, where'd she go?
To the Tesla.
Right. It kind of implies that she got attacked because they have to increase the stakes and add drama.
But no, she went into a building and he's like trying to call Mark. His name's Roderick.
Yeah.
And he's like, Mark, you got to get there. You got to get there. And then I don't know what else happened with that.
Famously, do you think the Tesla, the 2020 Tesla, has more or less technology than the cylinders from the Martian movie?
What an excellent question.
Yeah.
Probably
more. Do you think
the
Martians would arrive in Teslas modern day?
They'd roll up.
Yeah. Elon Musk put a Tesla on Mars, didn't he? Am I crazy for that?
That's the next movie. They were like, we're going to base all of our technology on this.
Actually, the next movie, completely reverse it. We're colonizing Mars and we have to fight the Martians. It's the POV of the colonizers. Comment down below if you love Elon Musk.
Who's your favorite billionaire? Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos?
That should have been the
Let us
that
know.
Section.
I should have, yeah.
This or that, Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos.
Any other thoughts you guys want to bring up?
No, I'm ready for this or that.
All right. Well, we have to get to our question. What do you prefer, the book or the film?
Movie. I'm just kidding. How about, I'll real answer 2005 movie.
Yeah.
That's like true.
Sorry. I don't think that counts though.
Oh, yeah, I have to choose 2025 as a book.
That's like saying, burgers or tacos? And you're like, I like pizza. It's like, it's not the same thing.
What if it's the burger pizza that we saw earlier today?
The pizza burger?
Pizza burger.
The spaghetti or taco?
I don't know.
This film. This
is rough all around. I guess book, even though I couldn't tell you what happened.
Hmm.
There is a really cool graphic novel I want to buy that looks like it's like in a steampunky style.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that kind of looks cool. I
might
be down to check
that out. Is
it
related to War of the Worlds?
Yeah, it is.
It's just a random thing.
I saw this in the mall the other day. It's not really related to what we're talking about. No, it's a War of the Worlds graphic novel. Okay. The one I found was like a 70-page kids book version, and it sucked bad.
What do the aliens look like in that one? Are they like the big head aliens, or like what do they look like in the graphic novel? Big-headed aliens.
I think they're like gray, squiddy-looking things. Okay. I don't remember.
Cool.
I zoomed through it. I was on my phone. I was zooming through it.
Huh?
Gray squids.
Oh, I thought you said race something. I was like, damn, that's crazy.
Gray
squids?
Oh, my squids. Goodness.
Yeah, I thought you were calling her racist.
Racist.
Specious. We all hate the Martians.
Specious.
Oh yeah, we have to come back to what slur would we give the Martians if they came?
We don't have think to come that back. Was
on, I don't think that was on camera. Was
I not, might add it.
That's crazy. So what?
Well, now I guess we have to.
First question: what slur would you call the aliens?
Oh, we're entertaining this? We're really thinking about it?
I'm imagining their tentacles, and I feel like there's something with that, but like I feel like...
What's the guy from Pirates?
Davy Jones?
Yeah.
No, they don't look like him, though.
Yeah, but he's a squid guy.
I guess so.
Squid
guy. Look at those Davy Jones over there.
I think Davy Jones is cool, though.
Yeah, Davy Jones is cool.
Yeah. The Davies.
Beak brain.
Beak brains. Mm.
Beak brains. That's okay. My pitch.
Okay.
I'm the only one that's made a suggestion so far, so.
I just gave a suggestion.
That was not a real suggestion.
The Davy Jones.
The Davy Jones is not. That's, first of all, probably copywritten by Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, second that's a real all, pirate.
Davy Jones. Oh, yeah, that's true. Guy. It's like Davy Jones Zocker. It's like a real, like, saying.
He's in SpongeBob.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Emerson, your turn. What's your slur?
You know, I don't really think about slurs.
This was your question.
I feel like I don't see species like that. I think that they I don't think that they deserve slurs.
I thought you were gonna say they don't deserve rights.
No, they don't. They but that's not rights? Important. Right
yeah,
now.
I was gonna say. Didn't they?
Now that's the question: do aliens deserve to be treated like humans if they come to Earth?
Well, do they want to participate?
Do they want to pay taxes?
Yeah,
exactly.
Anyway, I would say book over film simply because of the historical importance and all that jazz.
Would you reread the book?
No.
That's the thing.
I would read I'd read a graphic novel, but
yeah.
I cannot do H.G. Wells for a while.
Me personally, I preferred the movie. I'll say it because you guys are afraid to.
You can say that.
I'm not reading
you
that book again.
You can stand on that.
I can watch that movie and be like, yeah, all right, that wasn't offensive.
You know what? Let's say it. Movie is not as bad as people are making it.
That's
to
what
be.
I'm saying. I watched it. I was like, this isn't a zero. It's not like amazing, but it's not a zero.
It was giving me a headache, though. I will say that.
The book made me want to die, I think. So I don't know if they're comparable.
Made you
like,
want a sewer slide?
No, it... Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It made me want to jump in front of a heat ray. Like, I could not read the book without either spacing out or having to go back and reread, like, whole ass sections and be like, I understood the movie first watch.
I had to, like, when I was listening to the audiobook, I literally, like, I would, like, sit and I would, like, look at nothing and I would just be like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially with, I mean, there's so many different audiobooks out there, but. A British man just talking.
Oh, that's really it. Honestly, that was another part of it. Was like, is this just like a British 1800s British thing? Like the way he talks was the amount of times he said I instead of I said. True. I hated it. It feels really unnecessary.
You didn't
and
like
dumb.
That. I was going to start incorporating that.
Said I.
All your scripts.
Said I.
I swear there was a point where he was talking to somebody else and he was like, "Yeah, I said." Said I, and I was like, "What the fuck is this?" I swear that was a part
said
of the
book. Said I does. It's quicker though.
Said
compared
I.
to I said.
I guess, but
said
it's,
I, said it, I.
It's just really annoying
said
to read.
Say said I five times.
Said I? I said, I said I? What are you talking about?
This versus that. Okay. Ice Cube versus Tom Cruise.
Oh, so now we're talking about the 2005 movie? Okay.
Oh, who wins in a fight?
Yeah.
That is never the question.
It's always a fight.
Never.
An easy Tom
Cruise.
Are
we talking about the performances of the characters? Because I feel like...
That's true. Are we talking about the actors or are we talking about the characters? Either way, Tom Cruise.
Do you think from... Well, I don't know. Maybe even... Yeah, 10 years ago, Tom Cruise versus Ice Cube, would they win in a fight? Who's winning?
Present day Ice Cube or 10 years ago?
That's what I'm saying. I feel like, is it 10 years ago? Because I wonder if Ice Cube wins that.
Okay, so Ice Cube 10 years ago. Maybe not,
though. Tom Cruise has always been in shape, though.
Because he does his own stunts. Yeah, like, no, yeah, I think he wins no matter what. This is what I'm saying. Unfortunately, sorry, Ice Cube. Like, I think that in a fight, for sure, Tom Cruise.
Yeah. It depends.
Character or actor.
Do you think Tom Cruise from Mission Impossible wins a fight against Ice Cube from Friday? You know?
Tom Cruise from Mission Impossible?
He took down Debo. That's like not, that's not something to laugh at.
Right. No, that's something.
Yeah.
Realizing just how I did not try with any of these this versus that's because I came up with them last night.
Roderick like, from Diary of a, you misspelled Wimpy.
But then, you know,
Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
If we're talking like, Mark? Is it like Ice Cube versus Tom Cruise if it's like a rap battle? I think Ice Cube wins in a rap battle.
Obviously.
Obviously, yeah, Ice Cube wins.
So like, you know, it really depends on the question, I think.
Okay, so yeah, be specific, Tessa.
I didn't make the question specific because I don't know what, I didn't know what to do for this.
Okay, so we all can agree it's Tom Cruise Ice unless Cube. It's a rap battle.
Yeah.
And then it's
Tom
Ice
Cruise
Cube.
Unless it's a rap battle, then Ice Cube kind of clears that.
But when you need somebody to say no in the same voice, Ice Cube is your guy.
That's true.
If it's a like reacting to my dead wife contest, I think Ice Cube might have that.
That
it would be close, but I think Ice Cube would.
Yeah, he might. Yeah.
Yeah.
Be close.
You want to read this question again?
Is Tom Cruise a Scientologist? Was that Tom Cruise?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely Tom Cruise.
Okay. Yeah, that's not.
So then he'd side with the aliens.
In terms of their religious beliefs, who do you side with?
Wait. Yeah. There actually would be a fight canonically because Ice Cube is anti-alien.
Yeah.
And Tom would be not anti-alien.
Before we jump to the next thing, Ice Cube's character is like anti-security... government tracking you
only at the end.
At the end.
Yeah.
He breaks free.
He breaks character, free. He learns honestly, the truth. Character development. Yeah, he's going to team up with his son, but they're also going to track people. Like, I don't know what their goal was.
It's like
they're tracking the government.
Yeah, they're tracking the government to make sure the government isn't doing malicious shit.
Got it. Okay.
I think.
I was wondering what his arc was there.
All right. On that note, Roderick from Diary of a Wimpy Kid versus Mark. Emerson, you don't understand, but I need you to know that Tessa misspelled Wimpy.
It looks right, though.
No, it's wrong.
Am I crazy? It looks
that?
Right.
That's not how you spell
it. I know
that.
It's not, but it looks like something else.
It's a Mandela effect.
I just fixed No, it's not a Mandela effect. Right?
I think it is a Mandela effect.
English language.
Wimpy had an H, I swear to God.
It never did.
I'm looking at it.
It never did.
I think it did, though.
Jeff Kinney, I need you to weigh in here.
Wimpy? There's never been a wimpy.
There's never been a wimpy kid. So anyway, Roderick versus Mark.
Yeah.
Mark is the Amazon delivery driver guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously it's...
One of them has a band. The other one has an Amazon van.
So like, Roderick is...
Hot. Let's talk about it.
He does have that going for him. He does have the cool eyeliner.
Yeah.
But his version of Baby by Justin Bieber is not it.
Mm.
It's a thing. It's on Spotify.
So Mark versus Roderick singing.
Yeah.
Singing
Baby.
Baby. Well, for sure, Mark, and that's.
Yeah. I think that's pretty canonical. Yeah.
On that note, Martians versus. Why am I reading this?
Go for it.
Martians versus part cyber, part organic alien things. That's verbatim what Tessa wrote. Who would win in a fight?
No!
Well, the thing is, in a fight, I do think that the Martians win this because they have the heat ray and they don't have the data for the other aliens to
right.
eat.
And also, they would eat the organic matter out of the part robot, part... Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah,
so... Martians win that.
Yeah, Martians.
If we're talking about which one's cooler, honestly, I think the part organic part.
What? No.
No, those are lame.
I think just eating data is boring, but them as a concept is pretty cool.
No. I don't like the tripod look with the little like flappy things that hang out. I didn't like that. Also, the CGI was bad.
What's that Martian from Looney Tunes?
Marv.
Martian Manhunter?
No, it's Marv the Martian.
Marv the Martian, yeah.
And then there's Martian Manhunter, who's Superman's friend.
That's right. If we're talking about Marv the Martian, I think he does beat the organic guys, but...
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
But Martian Manhunter destroys all of them.
Mm. Roderick versus Marv the Martian?
Marv the Martian again.
Marv the Martian.
What is this?
So Marv the Martian versus Tom Cruise, because we have to keep going up.
Yeah.
So
this is the tier list.
Right. So, yeah. Well, so Tom Cruise versus Roderick. Oh my
God. I think Tom Cruise wins that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Ice Cube versus Roderick, though.
Ice Cube wins that. Wait, how is that possible? That can't... Wait, oh no, that works still. No,
first and second can still beat third. First just beats second.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then Mark versus Marv the Martian. Mark's losing.
Yeah, I think Marv the Martian's on top here.
So versus Tom Cruise. I kind of think
Is Tom Cruise sick? Is he going to sneeze on him? I think
that's
important.
The Marv the Martian has a little gun.
We actually didn't even really fully talk about how the aliens died and how they died of illness and how the main character just kind of showed up and they were all dead.
That's true. I mean, we talked about how they died of illness, but we didn't talk about how the main character.
I thought that was really boring. I feel like there was like a lot of buildup because that was the only thing I looked
up.
But
ain't that
how
it happens?
It's like, oh, cool. Okay, they're going to die of disease. I'd like to see how this happens.
Hello?
Oh, my God.
Do you see this? She's like feral.
Yeah, he did.
Just shows
he was like
up and
hiding
then all the aliens
out.
Are dead. And it's like, oh, cool.
Yeah, he was hiding out for a while and then he shows up and he's like, am I the last person alive?
Oh, yeah. And he's like singing and dancing in the street.
And then it's like,
people
oh,
are like,
no.
Let's take in this sick man.
The Martians are gone. We did it. Kind of. Anyway, you want to read the last one?
No, I'm looking at Marv the Martian.
Marv the Martian.
Amazon Prime Air drone versus horseback.
Wait, what? Sorry? What's the... To deliver a thumb drive?
To deliver something.
A person?
In terms of delivery.
A thumb drive or a parcel, you know? It's
yeah.
The difference
right,
of time.
Okay, well...
I think the drone sequence was really cool.
Yeah, it's got to be drones.
Are those... I feel like we've been hearing about those drones forever, but they still have not become a thing.
I don't know. Well, obviously in 2020, we thought they would be a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we never got to talk about biker mice from Mars. Can we talk about it?
Wait, sorry? Biker mice?
Biker mice from Mars. This is my big campaign.
Okay.
They were against the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the 90s. There's three mice. They're from Mars. They got little antennas.
Mm-hmm.
Without War of the Worlds, we never would have got biker mice from Mars. And that's really important to me.
Never heard of them.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Wait, they have their own show from 1993.
Yeah, I watched the first three episodes as a kid. We had the VHS tape. That shit was the coolest thing of all time.
Throttle?
I said this actually by accident earlier. When you said let's rock and roll, I said let's rock and ride, which is
from
them.
Really?
I said that earlier and I didn't mean to do this.
Your mind.
Yeah.
Your mind.
It's always stuck on Biker Mice from Mars.
They look pretty cool.
They're fucking sick.
Throttle, Moto, and Vinny. Yeah. Oh my goodness, you love this show.
Vinny is.
You know that. Because you know all the characters. Yeah. That's crazy.
Oh my God, yeah. And there's Limburger, who's an alien.
Oh my gosh, yes. And there's Ronaldo Rump.
I don't know about Ronaldo Rump. I know Grease Pit, and I know...
Ronaldo Rump sounds suspiciously like, shall I say it, Donald Trump.
If you look at Limburger, he looks just like Donald Trump. Up Limburger.
No, Ronaldo Rump looks like Donald
Trump.
It
is supposed to be him. It has to be.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it probably
is. Oh, yeah.
That is fully him.
It's a greedy, bald, wrinkly billionaire, real estate tycoon...
That's insane.
Yeah.
Whoever designed that character, I hope you're still alive.
I bet. Yeah, it was made in the 90s.
Well, you don't know what happens to people. You can't assume.
Which is the main theme of this book.
There's this shot of him playing golf. Yeah. Ronaldo Rump playing
Ronaldo
golf.
Ronaldo Rump. Thank goodness H.G. Wells wrote War of the Worlds.
Yeah. Without that, we would have never gotten Ronaldo Rump.
So true.
Anyway, that's our episode. you want to shout out anything? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I already did, but shout outs to the YouTube. Go
the
watch.
YouTube?
Yeah, the YouTube. Our YouTube. Yeah.
Okay.
Go watch.
Oh. Go watch YouTube.
Go watch
anything on
go
YouTube.
Go watch YouTube. It'll cleanse your brain. No, go watch the Dreadful Digest YouTube. Mm-hmm. We work really hard on it.
True.
Yeah.
Facts.
And subscribe.
Please do.
And and comment every single time I said comment on this episode. I feel
comment
like
Ronaldo
I need to see
Rump.
Comment Ronaldo Rump if you made it this far.
Okay. So next episode, we're going to be coming back with The Black Phone. We're going to be looking at the first film just in time for the sequel. So make sure to read the short story by Joe Hill. Check out the movie. It's pretty dang good. And yeah, follow us on at Dreadful Digest Pod on Instagram, TikTok. We've got a few good videos on there. And Facebook. So yeah, we'll see you next time. All right. Thanks for joining us, Emerson.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Is you can press plastic? The button. Press the button.
What button?
Oh, God.
Everybody in the comments, comment your favorite Doctor Who moment.
That's insane. We should do ASMR.
I'd rather be watching Doctor Who right now.